O God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O God, the Holy Ghost, Sanctifier of the faithful,
have mercy upon us.
O Holy, Blessed, and Great, Glorious Trinity, one God,
have mercy upon us.
Remember not, Lord Christ, our offenses, nor the offenses of our forefathers, neither reward us according to our sins. Spare us, good Lord, spare thy people, whom thou hast redeemed with thy most precious blood, and by thy mercy preserve us forever. From all evil and wickedness, from sin, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, and from everlasting damnation.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From all blindness of the heart, from pride, vainglory, and hypocrisy, from envy, hatred, and malice, and from all want of charity. From all inordinate and sinful affections, and from all the deceits of the world, the flesh, and the devil. From all false doctrine, heresy, and schism, from hardness of heart and contempt of thy holy word and commandments. From lightning and tempest, from earthquake, fire, and flood, from plague, pestilence, and famine. From all oppression and conspiracy and rebellion, from violence, battle, and murder, from dying suddenly and unprepared. By the mystery of thy holy incarnation, by thy holy nativity and submission to the law, by thy baptism, fasting, and temptation. By thine agony and bloody sweat, by thy cross and passion, by thy precious death and burial, and by the glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Ghost. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of our death, and in the day of judgment, we sinners do beseech thee to hear us, O Lord God, and that it may please thee to rule and govern thy holy church, universal in the right way. That it may please thee to illumine all bishops, priests, and deacons with true knowledge and understanding of thy word, and that both by their preaching and living they may set it forth and show it accordingly. That it may please thee to bless and keep all thy people. That it may please thee to send forth laborers into thy harvest and to draw all humankind into thy kingdom. That it may please thee to give to all people increase of grace, to hear and receive thy word, and to bring forth thy fruits of the Spirit. That it may please thee to bring into the way of truth all such as have erred and are deceived. That it may please thee to give us a heart to love and fear thee, and diligently to live after thy commandments.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee so to rule our hearts of thy servants, the President of the United States, and all others in authority, that they may do justice and love mercy, and walk in the ways of truth.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to make wars to cease in all the world, to give to all nations unity, peace, and concord, and to bestow freedom upon all peoples.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to show the pity upon all prisoners and captives, the homeless and the hungry, and all who are desolate and oppressed.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to give and preserve to our use the bountiful fruits of the earth, so that in due time all may enjoy them. That it may please thee to inspire us in our several callings to do the work which thou hast given us to do with singleness of heart as thy servants and for the common good.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to preserve all who are in danger by reason of their labor or their travel.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to preserve and provide for all women in childbirth, young children and orphans, the widowed and all whose homes are broken or torn by strife.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to visit the lonely, to strengthen all who suffer in mind, body, and spirit, and to comfort with thy presence those who are failing and infirmed.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to support, help, and comfort all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to have mercy upon all humankind.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to give us true repentance, to forgive us of all our sins, negligences, and ignorances, and to endue us with the grace of thy Holy Spirit to amend our lives according to thy holy word.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to strengthen such as do stand, to comfort and help the weak-hearted, to raise up those who fall, and finally to beat down Satan under our feet.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to grant to all the faithful departed eternal life and peace.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to grant that in the fellowship of Jude Thaddeus and all thy saints, we may attain to thy heavenly kingdom.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
Son of God, we beseech thee to hear us.
Son of God, we beseech thee to hear us.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world.
Have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world.
Have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world.
Grant us thy peace.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Bless the Lord who forgiveth all our sins. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weaknesses of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, you shall not eat the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you shall be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
A reading to the Romans. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. After Jesus was baptized, he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord the God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you.
The Lord God put Adam there in the garden, and he said three things. One, till and keep this land. Two, eat freely of what you see. Three, do not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I speak in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I like how those right one responses are shaking y'all up. It's nice. Lent is the season to be shooken up a little bit. So you need to be rattled just a little bit here in this Lenten season. I'm thinking back about this garden thing and wondering about the story of creation, right? Where God gives us in the scriptures this story about how God created our existence and the world around us. And if you go back to chapter 1, what you get is this very orderly, concise, very scientific, very one after the other, very mathematical way in which the world came about. And it was almost as if the people who brought us the scriptures or brought the scriptures into writing prayed and looked at it and prayed to God and said, wait a minute, that's true, but it was also messier than that too. And then we get the second story with the garden and with Adam and the woman and the rib being torn out. They left that part out. They didn't want to get too gruesome the first Sunday of Lent, I guess. So the crib comes out and the woman is made, and that's the second story. And it's almost as if things aren't quite as neat as they are in chapter 1 of Genesis. And so we have to remember. So this is the two things that we hold in balance, right? And the story that is given us in the second creation story, here in Genesis, the end of Genesis 2 and the beginning of Genesis 3, the story that we get is a story about balance. It's about God granting Adam with a conversation three things. One, you must till and keep and cultivate this garden. And I think a lot of us have the idea that, like the Garden of Eden is, you're just walking around picking stuff, right? And eating it. You don't even finish this apple, you just throw it down and get another one because it's so good, right? But the Genesis paints a different story. It's Adam is asked or told or commanded by God to cultivate. Second, God says, you are permitted, you are freely permitted to eat of the fruit that is around you. And then there's a prohibition. But you are not to eat from this tree. And so there's a balance created there in this first part of Genesis where our existence is grounded in vocation, cultivate, permission, eat freely and enjoy, prohibition, do not eat of this tree. And then there's a conversation that happens between the woman and the serpent and then the woman and Adam, and that balance gets undone. And I think that Lent is the season that we are gifted with to wonder together about how that balance comes undone and our role in that and how we can amend, change, shift, repent our lives in such a way to reorient it towards that balance. I think about my own imbalances. I think back to when I was a dorky little tween kid. Man, I was the dork of dorks. And I had this little red backpack that I carried around all the time. It was bright red. It's like a fire hydrant red, you know, that I carried around. I don't even know where I got this thing. I think it said JanSport on it. JanSport red backpack. And I would walk around with this thing. And when I was 13, I went into the Boy Scouts. And I remember going through this little ceremony, and I became Boy Scout. And I was granted the rank of Scout and then Tenderfoot. You had to work to Tenderfoot. Like, you didn't start at Tenderfoot. You had to work your way up to Tenderfoot. Man, so I'd worked really hard. I got to Tenderfoot. There I was. My red backpack, Tenderfoot. And we would go on these camping trips every once in a while. And I think the first year there, it was announced to us scouts that we would be spending two nights in the Lost Sea Caves. Oh, man. Adventure, adventure, adventure. You know these caves up north of here? They're like, I mean, these things are huge, right? You get into the middle of this thing, and they turn off all the lights, and it's total darkness. It's probably one of the first times in your life that you experience complete and total darkness as a kid. Oh, man. Oh, man. It was the adventure of adventures. But the scout leader pulled me aside before the scout trip, and he said, look, Bobby, because that's what I went by when I was a kid. Don't judge. He said, Bobby, so you're going on this trip with us, but none of the scouts who came in with you on your class who are tenderfoots are going to be able to go. So it's just going to be you and these older, subtext in my mind, much cooler kids, right, that are going. And that moment began a dialogue in my heart and mind about how I could bolster my coolness. It was like at level negative 8, and I needed it to get up to at least a 4 before I went on this trip, my coolness, you know, coolness factor. And so I'm wondering, how can I do this? How can I booster my coolness factor? So I begin this conversation in my own heart and mind. I think about it in class. I'm thinking about it on the bus to school. I'm like, how can I do this? How can I be? Because, you know, I'm going to be with these older kids who are like, you know, Life and Star and Eagle Scouts, and I'm just tenderfoot. And so I'm thinking about this thing, and I think, in my little rational 13-year-old mind, I think, who is the coolest person that I have access to? Brother, older brother, Jimmy, the man. I thought he was the coolest dude on the face of the planet. And I was like, so, what can I do? What can I borrow? What do I have access to from Jimmy to bolster my coolness? So, I'm thinking about this, turning it over in my mind, and I realize that Jimmy has the coolest collection of baseball cards, which includes a Ricky Henderson record steel card. Oh, man. This thing lived in a solid glass container, right? That had little screws in the corners of it so you couldn't really open it up. And it had Ricky Henderson there, and he had the base that he stole for the record over his head and had gold lettering on it. Oh, man, this was the coolest thing, right? And I thought, what I will do is, here's the crucial word, you ready? I will borrow this thing that I will eventually put back, and it will be in my backpack, and I will show it to my friends, and they will think only cool people can have this kind of a baseball card, and thus I will be cool. And so I did that, snuck into his room, opened the drawer, flipped through, got it out, closed the drawer, right? Made sure that the little knob on the dresser was exactly how it was when I left it, but I'm just borrowing, okay? Just borrow. And I put it in my backpack, and I go on this scout trip, and I'm showing it to everybody. You know, I'm just showing this thing off. And I get home from the scout trip. It's a Sunday. And I'd planned this out. I mean, like, planned the whole thing out. So Dad, two brothers at work, at church, Mom, me at home. I sneak in back into the room. I get my backpack around. I open the pocket. Nothing there. Have you ever had this kind of a panic moment in your life where you can't feel your fingertips all of a sudden? Like, oh my God. And so it was weeks and weeks, but my brother discovered that card was missing. And he knew immediately who had taken it. And thus began the schism between me and Jimmy. And it was just bad. It was bad for a long time between the two of us, right? This conversation in the book of Genesis, right, that happens between the woman who we call Eve and the serpent. This is the conversation that then happens between Eve and her husband, who the scripture calls, who we read as man, but the Hebrew name there is Adam. That's where we get, that word means man. That's how we get the name Adam, right? And so these series of conversations, there's something specific that I want to tell you about them. One is that what we miss in today's reading is that before Adam gets to this point where he's eating of this fruit that he's not supposed to eat, right? His humanity is incomplete, and God completes that humanity by filling out the human experience with woman. And so here's the complete human experience having a conversation, right? And this conversation with the serpent distorts what God had said earlier, right? If you do this thing, you will not die. God didn't say this, God said this, right? And thus begins the breaking of the balance. Just like my thinking was, I'm missing this thing, I need it. And to get it, I'm going to not steal. I'm not going to break any of the Ten Commandments. I'm just borrowing this thing, right? This is the distortions that we go through. And what I want you to pay attention to about this conversation between the serpent and the woman and the man is that in no time in that conversation is God invited in. God is left out of this conversation. And I bet if we unpack our little lives and we look at the moments that we regret the most, the moments where we invite some sort of resentment or anger or enmity or separation between us and the folks that we love and us and God, it is the same thing. We have not really invited God into those kind of conversations in our own hearts. But Lent is the opportunity to restore that balance, vocation, permission, and prohibition. And you're invited to constantly wonder with God, what do we have permission to do?
What are we called to work towards? And what is off limits to us? And the sense, the idea that something is off limits to humanity has been getting up in humanity's crawl since the beginning of humanity, right? That's what this story confirms and affirms in our existence, is that we do not live within the boundaries that have been given to us. But we are invited into this process of continually thinking about what are the boundaries, right? My brothers and I's relationship, it's a difficult one. It's a really tough one, even now. So we got this wedding thing planning going on, you know, and Casey will say to me something like, oh, so you invited Jimmy and his wife to this thing. Oh my gosh, I got to invite them to this thing too. Not the wedding, just different things, you know, in the wedding. It's like, you know, because our family relationship is not like normal family relationships, you know. I think the most difficult relationship in my life is the one with my older brother. And it's complicated by the fact that, you know, you have the dynamic of two kids growing up together who are 5 years apart, but also both our parents are schizophrenics, and the trauma and the pain and sometimes the abuse that came along with that dynamic, my brother shielded me from in many ways and mitigated in many ways, which is what I got to do for my younger brother. But he got the brunt of it, and I don't know if I ever really appreciated much of that, right? And I certainly didn't appreciate a lot of the resentment that was built around that. And so anytime my brother would come to visit, what I wanted to talk about was my cool nephew that and this family that he's built, this family of four that he's built with his wife Kim and the life that they share. But my brother wants to argue with me about the historicity, whether Noah's Ark is a historical fact or not. That's what, and like he wants to go at this, like, and I won't tell you who's on which side of that argument. You'll have to come to Sunday school to get that one. But we have this, and we, like, this is what he wants to talk about, and I don't get it, and it gets heated and contentious, and man, oh man, he kind of wants to challenge me on these things, right? And so there's this strain even now in this relationship. And I think this is what Genesis tells us, the story about the garden, and what the Lenten invitation is about. When Jesus goes into the wilderness there to be tempted by Satan, right? At the core of that, what allows Jesus to pass through that in a way that is unscathed into his ministry is trust. Is a deep abiding trust that God will show up on the other side of every failure. That God will mitigate every danger. That God will forgive every sin. That new life will be restored in the broken places, right? Jesus trusts that at his core, which is what allows him to cast off those temptations, move through that desert experience. And so here we are in the desert. And we are invited to redemption. And we are invited to repentance. And repentance is a word that means to mend our lives, to shift, to change, to orient ourselves towards the love of God, which is also an orientation to the cross. Right? It's one and the same. So after I graduated seminary, I got wise and started seeing a therapist person, right? And that was super important for my journey and probably necessary. And so I started talking to this person, and Gary is his name, and he was just my mentor and therapist and just a really smart and all-around great guy. And we're talking about my brother and this relationship with my brother and how difficult it is. And Gary says, well, Robert, what do you think is, what's at the heart of this conflict between you and your brother? And I said, well, I stole this baseball card when I was 13 years old, and he's never forgiven me for it. And Gary goes, wait, you think your brother and you have these issues because of a baseball card? And I said, yes. And he says, well, what do you think you need to do around that? I said, I don't know. And he said, you need to say you're sorry. Gary was inviting me to a season of repentance, to restore the balance, right? To put that prohibition back in place, to acknowledge that I had transgressed it, to ask for forgiveness for that, and to live again into that balance that must exist so that we can be in good relationship with each other, with God, and with this world around us, right? So Genesis affirms something true, foundational at our existence, that there's a balance. There are prohibitions and permissions and vocations. Those are the things that we are called to. And if we break any three of those, the balance gets undone. I went and I said sorry to Jimmy. It was one day he came down to Chattanooga, and he was passing through because his wife was doing a job interview down in Georgia. And so we were there, and we were talking about it, and we're at this little place. And I said, Jimmy, this is awkward, but I need to apologize about something. He said, okay. I said, So I'm just sorry that I stole that Ricky Henderson record steal baseball card. You know what Jimmy said to me? He goes, what baseball card? I said, the baseball card that I steal, and the reason that you're so mad at me. And he goes, you didn't steal any of my baseball cards. I said, I stole that baseball. He has zero recollection of this thing. And if he were standing here today, if he were standing right here today, he would say, we would be in an argument about it right now. He would say, that never happened. I mean, it definitely happened. Yeah. Right? We're invited into Lent, into this journey of repentance through fasting, through prayer, through penitence, through taking on acts of charity, and all these things we do, not to punish ourselves or to hate ourselves or to get down on ourselves, but to remind ourselves our substance, our existence, the grace of our lives is given to us not by our own autonomy, but by God's. Right? That's the whole point. It's to restore that balance, to live more fully into the love of God. And I think if we do it, if we take it seriously, if we take on these practices, if we walk towards Easter with this in mind, and we say to God, I'm sorry for these things, I think God will look at all of us and say, what baseball card? Amen.
Please stand with me and let us share our faith together by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 6 of your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and a life of a world to come. Amen.
Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
That's all.
All of you.
All right, friends, right over here. Right over there where you were sitting, and then I'll call you up. So if you haven't noticed, we have two new acolytes. They are training, acolytes in training, AITs, today. And they're so far doing a fantastic job. They have not caught anything on fire yet, which is rule number one of acolyting, right? There are some things to talk about. I don't want to forget, so I'm going to say it first. Next week is daylight savings time. So it springs forward. So we lose an hour. Womp, 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 womp. So, which marks a year, I think, because I think we started this endeavor at 11:15 a year ago on daylight savings time. So, yeah, so that happens next Sunday. So be conscious of that. There are, as we move into Lent, there are some opportunities. One is we will be doing an adult education. Man, that already sounds boring. We're doing a conversation about repentance. Oh, that's worse. So at 12:45 after the service, we'll get together in the library if you want. We'll be unpacking the concept of repentance. Like, what do we mean when we throw this big word around? So we'll be exploring it from the Christian tradition, from our own life experience. This week, next week, we're going to talk about it from Islam and Sufism, mystical Islam, and take as our partner Rumi. The week following, we'll have a conversation with the Hindu goddess Kali. So it's plenty of scandal that you can come and be a part of here in these conversations about redemption and repentance. So come and be a part of that. We kicked it off at St. Albans at 8:30. It went really well. And so we'll do that here at 12:45. And if you miss one, come to the next one. It doesn't matter. They're standalone. They don't build on each other. That's perfectly fine. And we chose to do those on Sunday. Kathleen and I chose to do those on Sunday so that leaves Wednesdays if you would like to participate in the Thorne Spartman School of Religion, which is at St. Paul's. And that's a very robust and sophisticated adult formation or Christian formation program. And it's in your bulletin if you're interested in those things. Be on the lookout for Holy Week and Easter celebrations and schedules. One thing that you can do to start getting ready for Easter is stop by the flower room and sign up for Easter lilies. They're $10 a pop. Is that right? Okay. Yeah. So we need to deck this place out in some lilies. So go and check that out in the Lenten season. Any other? Yes.
Just a reminder. This is the first Sunday of the month. Therefore, the loose plate offering goes to the rector's discretionary fund. This is the way we help people come to our door in need. So please give generously.
Thanks. Yes, Courtney.
And for anyone who wishes, blood pressure checks will be available in the wellness center immediately
after. Oh, great. Thank you. Thanks. Ascribe to the Lord the honors due his name and make good your vows to the Most High. Perfect. Who knew that having more acolytes would take a little bit longer? I invite you to follow along in your bulletin. The Eucharistic prayer is a little bit different than you're used to. Are we ready? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, who dost bid thy people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that fervent in prayer and in works of mercy and renewed by the word and sacraments, they may come to the fullness of grace which thou hast prepared for those who love thee. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name evermore, praising thee and saying, glory be to thee, O Lord our God, for that thou didst create heaven and earth, and didst make us in thine own image, and of thy tender mercy didst give thine own Son, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption. He made there a full and perfect sacrifice for the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death and sacrifice until his coming again. For in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to thee, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O heavenly Father, we thy people do celebrate and make with these thy holy gifts, which we now offer unto thee, the memorial thy Son hath commanded us to make, having in remembrance his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming again with power and great glory. And we humbly beseech thee, O merciful Father, to hear us, and with thy word and Holy Spirit to bless and sanctify these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be unto us the body and blood of thy dearly beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And we earnestly desire thy fatherly goodness to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, whereby we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls, and bodies. Grant, we beseech thee, that all who partake of thy holy communion may worthily receive this most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. And also that we and all thy whole church may be made one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
forever and ever. Amen.
Praying together. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Hold that up real high. Hold this up real high. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Christ.
Amen. Let us pray together, continue on page 10. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou hast feed us in these holy mysteries, in the spiritual food of thy flesh, of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby for thy favor and goodness towards us, and that we are very members in corporate in the mystical body of thy Son, and bless all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom. And we humbly beseech thee, O blessed Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that whole fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory for world without end. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, in your hearts and minds, in the knowledge and in the love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you this day and remain with you always. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Pregnant emptiness, then.